I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 6 this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Studying through the scriptures, we can see that a picture has been painted A very grim picture has been painted of mankind, knowing that we are dead in sin under the very wrath of God. And we are also subject to eternal separation from Him. But it is through His perfect, His unrivaled, and His immeasurable grace that we do not have to experience this separation, that we do not have to experience the very wrath of God. And I think oftentimes in our lives, we truly do not think about the eternal separation. Obviously, for you, if you are a child of God, eternal separation should be the last thing from your mind. However, it also needs to be at the very forefront, because you and I both know many people, family and friends alike, who are going to be separated from God. And so through the sacrifice of His Son, the giving of His only begotten Son, we also can have the very experience of God's grace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And if the Lord leads, we're going to talk about grace for many more weeks to follow. Grace is something that I think that we, myself included, don't always hold on to as we should. Not always remembering the very grace that He has bestowed upon us, and that we are to bestow that very same grace to others. Not just those who do good things for you, but for fallen man. We are to always be able to extend grace to whosoever, because we're all in need of. We're all deserving of grace because of the grace that God has given us. We deserve to extend that grace. We deserve to show that grace, and you deserve to feel that grace. But that grace truly cannot be experienced unless you truly know who God is. You do not know grace. I do not know grace outside of God. God is grace. God is good. God is love. God is full of peace, and God is joy. And so what we see here in the scripture today from Paul here in Romans is that he's giving us the reasons how we obtain grace and how that grace is poured out upon our lives. It is through the cross where Jesus Christ gave up His blood. It's where he poured grace down that cross. His only blood, his very blood was the grace, and it's where you and I are able to obtain that second chance of knowing what it means to have a true relationship with Him. When we place our faith in Christ, He pours out His unconditional love. He pours out His unconditional grace upon you. And it is not a one-time pouring. He continues to pour His love and His grace upon you every single day that you come unto Him. It is always there, ready to be extended unto you. But you must be ready to receive it. Because of grace, we have been justified by faith. And to understand the justification process is to know that it is when God Almighty has declared that you are not guilty in His sight. God has declared, not man. God is the justifier. Only God can declare you to be pure, you to be whole, you to be sinless. We can't. Jesus' death on the cross is counted as payment for your sins, and all of your disobedience, past, present, and even future sins can be forgiven because of the justification, because of the faith. And that's where we are in this morning's scripture, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And if you have God's word before you, just follow along this morning. You do not have to stand up to follow along this morning with me. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look at verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Perhaps the most important thing that we have read in these verses this morning is that we see how verse 6 ends. In due time, And God selected the due time. But when God selected the due time for Christ, what did he do? He died for the ungodly. That was you before you accepted his saving grace. That was for anyone. That's for all people. Before they accepted his saving grace, they were ungodly. You were ungodly. I was ungodly. And he died for you, for me. That is grace. That is a perfect, unrivaled, meaning that there's nothing that will ever match the very grace of God, and it cannot be measured. We cannot measure the matchless, infinite, marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. If you look back at verse 1, it says, therefore, so you're able to get that. But here is something very important. Go back and look at verse 25 at the very end of chapter 4. It says, who was delivered up, speaking of Jesus Christ, he was delivered up because of our offenses, because of the very sins in which you were going to commit and going to continue to commit, and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of the work that Jesus did, we can be justified. But the only way in which you can be justified, the only way in which anyone can be justified by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, is you got to have faith. And you got to know that he truly died, that it's not just this made-up story that has been passed down from generation to generation that just happened to be put in a book. It is the truth. It is this holy and infallible. It is the very inerrant word of God that Jesus Christ was the only one who could justify you. He is the only one who can allow you to have life eternal. But the only way that you can obtain it is to have faith. And then when you get that faith, when you truly have hold of that faith, it says we then now have this very peace with God. So you have this faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but then you're able to obtain this very peace from God, and you get it through the very work of his Son. Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he is our peace, Jesus is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall, that partition that is between us. I love how Jesus Christ gave up his life, but I also love how God showed his power when his Son drew his last breath, how important it was on that given day. And for you and me today, that when that last breath was given, not taken, it was given, that the veil was torn. And it wasn't torn from the bottom to the top. It was torn from the very top to the very bottom. And this is that very partition that Paul is speaking of that was broken down. That barrier was separated between man and God. And it was Jesus who broke down the barrier. That is the justification of, and that is the faith in knowing that this is what took place. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you recognize that middle wall has truly been removed in your life and in your relationship with God? Do you know that that barrier has been broken down? Jesus Christ has made this possible through his justification in our lives, in the very faith that we have in Christ Jesus, and it's made possible because of the grace that God has for his children. His grace and his love and his mercy. God knew exactly what we would need. He knew that we would need to experience and feel grace, to feel love and to feel and experience his mercy. And this takes us to verse 2. It says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So we have access to Jesus. We have this through the very faith that we have in him. And it gives us the very experience of grace. This verse teaches that you have a secure position through the very blessings of Jesus's justification. You need to remind yourselves of that daily. You need to seek God's word, seek communication with him so that he will show you that his grace is where we stand, is where we get the power to do what is right in the sight of God, not in the sight of mankind. It is through the very promise and the very shedding of Jesus's blood, which all Christians will one day be glorified and then ultimately be perfected in that last day. This is our hope. This is a joy that you should have. We have this through faith, We experience this peace through this justification, and it's covered by His grace. In order to receive grace, you must be justified by your faith in Christ. And here's the thing. I think that the more faith that you exude, or the more faith that you show in your life each and every day, God will be able to give you more and more of His grace. Remember, it's a great abundance of. It will never run out. It is immeasurable. But see, the thing is this. If you don't come to the well, you can't get the water. If you do not come to God, you can't receive His grace. And so it's important that you recognize that you don't need to do life on your own. You don't need to do life with just you and your helpmate, or maybe a strong cohort within your life. You need God to take care of you, to provide for you. This is what He wants to do. This is what He longs to do. This is His plan for your life. Remember, He wants to give you what He knows is best. To obtain the very pardon of God is the greatest pardon that anyone could ever receive, to be pardoned for their sins, your past, your present, your future. That is an extension of, an outflowing of grace. It doesn't stop with the past sins. God permits you to be forgiven of present sin, and His grace will carry you on into the very future sins which you will commit. We know that we're going to commit them, but at the very same time, we must recognize that grace is going to carry us all the way to the end of this life's journey. But what does this look like for you and for me? What does it look like to have great faith? What does it look like to be able to experience the grace that God has for you and for me? It is a faith that accepts the Lord's judgment. I want you to understand this, and it may be easy for you and me to maybe understand what I'm saying to you today, but I want you to think about all the people that you come in contact with in your daily life who cannot understand this, who truly cannot understand that there is a God, there is only one God who can love me with all of the sin, with all of the baggage that I bring each and every day. How can someone, a God such as this, be that forgiving? And it's for you and for me to understand, but yet we need to go and be able to share it to others and be able to explain it to other people to see what you know to be true through your faith, through the justification process. We must recognize that the Lord's judgment is upon those who will not call upon the name of the Lord. They're going to be chastised. They're going to suffer His wrath. But for you and for me, we are not going to suffer that. But we have to recognize at the very beginning of our lives that new beginning in our lives when we were born again, that judgment is upon you and to me, and that you are a sinner, and that you and I are unable to rescue ourselves. And everyone who has ever walked the face of this earth is in need of the Savior. You must believe that Jesus paid for your sins through His death. That God accepted His payment on your behalf. Understand this. It wasn't your payment. It was the very payment from Jesus Christ. That Jesus gave His life for you. For each one of you who are sitting here this morning. For everyone. He gave His life. God accepted that payment. And that you are forgiven. And that He made you a part of His family. And if you have this true faith, you will have forgiveness in Him. But when you have this forgiveness, you are to then recognize that you must hold fast to that very allegiance that you have made, that very promise that you made to Him, because you've accepted His promise, and in return, you are making a promise unto Him that you are wholeheartedly willing to seek and to serve Him. And I want to give you the definition as given by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary by the word wholeheartedly. It means completely and sincerely devoted, determined, or enthusiastic. How many of you can say you enthusiastically are serving the Lord? How determined are you each day when you wake up to live each moment completely devoted to God's calling for your life? Do you do this enthusiastically? Do you do this with great, sincere devotion? How determined are you? Looking at verse 3 and 4 and 5, but before we look at verse 3, I want to go back and read the last portion of verse 2, if you would look with me. It says, "Rejoice in hope, of the glory of God. And not only that, that and, that conjunction is so very important as these two verses are joined together, leading into the very importance of, we rejoice in the very hope of the glory of God. But not only do we rejoice in that, but we also, look what it says here, we are to glory in the tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. So when we glory in the Lord, we're to also glory in the very trials in which fall into our lives. And of course, the question is easily asked, and it will never go away until the Lord raptures his church. The question will always be, how can one truly rejoice when the world around us is truly crumbling down? How do we rejoice in such a tribulation? How do we take great comfort in knowing that this world that we have, the comforts that we have in Kershaw and in our state and in our nation, is crumbling away? How do we take comfort in that? First and foremost, we take comfort in that because we are not of this world. That's why we take comfort. A verse that you've heard me share many times, it is probably my favorite next to Acts 4:12 is John 16:33. We do not worry about what's going on in this world because we're not of this world, but then Jesus has told us that we are to be of good cheer. So if Jesus is commanding you and commanding me that, hey, be of good cheer, and why do we need to be of good cheer? Because Jesus Christ has already conquered this. What you and I are facing, COVID-19, all the political warfare that's going on, the spiritual warfare that's going on, Jesus Christ has already conquered this world. Be of good cheer. He says there will be trial, there will be tribulation, but I have overcome this world. And you believe in Him, if you have been justified by faith in knowing that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, you too have already overcome this world. Do not worry about today nor tomorrow. You're in the palm of the Master's hand. The very one who created you, He has you right where He needs you to be when you are aligned in His will, when you are living for Christ Jesus. It is very easy to rejoice in the very glory of God when everything is going as planned, but when things aren't going the way we want, that's when we really need to experience His grace, and not just His grace, but it's the very miracle of grace and how grace evolves in our lives, and that we're to continue to press on. We're to continue to persevere through the good and through the bad. The very meaning of perseverance in the Greek term, it means to abide under the pressure. Now, as I thought about that word abide, I could not help but think about the very verses that you and I read together last week in John chapter 15. How important is it that Jesus used the very word abide in John 15, and the very Greek meaning of that word is to abide under pressure. So therefore, when you and I are abiding in Christ Jesus, we can abide, we can persevere through the very pressures of life. And I want to reread those verses to you this morning in John chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Him. So what this verse right here tells me as we speak of the pressures of life, the abiding of the pressures of life, is that when we abide in the vine, abide in Christ Jesus, He's going to be there for us. He's going to support us. But He says that when we go off and try to do things on our own, what's going to happen? You're not going to make it. You're cut away from the supply of life. You're going to cave into the very pressures of sin. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You and I cannot make it through the pressures of this world without Christ Jesus. Don't even begin to think that you can make it on your own. There's no need to waste your thoughts on such as this. You need to know and place your faith in Christ Jesus. If anyone does not abide in Jesus, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to anyone who does not have a relationship with God. When you do not know God, the pressures of this world are going to take you completely under, and you will not be able to withstand the pressures of this world. You will be as the vine that is the vine that's cut away and thrown to the side. It is burned. It is no longer in existence. We are to abide in Him that way that we can handle the pressures of this world. The the pressure here that's being spoken of is like the squeezing of an olive in a press, in an olive press. When an olive is being compressed, when it's being squeezed, the main objective of that process is to produce the oil. Such is our lives. The pressures of life results in the conflicts of two truths. So you think about the pressures of this world, and as they're coming down upon you and they're squeezing you out, what's going to be left when the pressures of this world squeeze you out? Is it going to be a faith with great enduring benefit, or is it going to be a fallen world under the very influence of Satan? You must choose. When you are being squeezed, when you are being compressed, when the weight of the world is falling down upon you, how do you respond? Do you respond with great faith because of who you are in Christ Jesus, or do you cower down and let Satan take control of you? You are in control of that decision. What do you do? The easy thing to do, because we live in the very moment, and I'm just as guilty. We find ourselves living in the moment, and it's so easy just to throw our hands up or just to fall down and say, I'm done. That's for the weak. That's for the timid. That's for those who do not have the power of God living within them. Being able to withstand life's pressures builds our character. And if your character is built upon the chief cornerstone, you have experienced the formality of grace. When you build your life upon Christ Jesus, you are experiencing God's grace, the wonderful, the unrivaled, the immeasurable grace of our loving Lord. These experiences are what gives you hope. These experiences are what's going to give you your strength from day to day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is what Paul says, because of all of the things that he was enduring. But you can be Paul. All of the infirmities that you indwell, that are upon you, you rejoice in knowing that you boast in those things because of who you are in Christ Jesus. That he will give you the power, that the very power of Christ will rest upon you, and that he will raise you up, and he will allow you to persevere. Our last verse this morning is verse 6, where it speaks of Christ Almighty dying for the ungodly. This is the perfect example of God's grace. We cannot make it on our own strength. We know that we cannot make it on our own merit. None of us are good enough to make it on our own. And aren't you glad that you're not good enough to make it on your own, because you would fall by the wayside? It is through the hope of God's masterful plan. If you've accepted his saving grace, you will have no need to fear humiliation on judgment day, because you belong to God. Once you accept God's saving grace, you become a child of God, and you become a child of the one true King, and God's love has spilled out into your very own heart. You have the very heart of Christ. You have the very love of God living within you because of your faith. Before salvation, you are his enemy. You are the ungodly, sentenced to eternal death. And think about that in your own life, where you are today. Think about how you wandered, no matter what age you were when you accepted the Lord. But even as a young child and growing through life's growing pains, you wandered. We all have. Maybe devout to being here and being a part of doing things for God, but nonetheless, our minds, our hearts can still wander. But before knowing him, there was nothing you could ever do to save yourself from a sinner's hell. Nothing. Grace enters the picture. Grace is Jesus. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the very enemy of God. You and I cannot be of this world, and you and I have already stated that this morning. We are not of this world. You used to be of this world, but now you belong to Jesus. You are adopted into His family, and it takes me to this important verse. If you want to write it down and maybe go and read it later, Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. This is grace. Through grace you have been given a second chance instead of receiving the very eternal punishment that you deserve. You have been given acceptance through your faith in Christ Jesus. It is your responsibility to make full use of this very opportunity by passionately pursuing God. So I want to ask you these questions in closing this morning. How passionate are you for God? How often do you take time to express your total appreciation for God's grace? How often do you show your gratitude for the second chance? Do you ever think about that? Do you think about the life that you have, and do you realize that you've been given that second chance? And really, you're given really more than a second chance every day that you live here. You know, I was talking with Miss Lois just last week, and to know that she's lived to be 100. And you quick mathematicians out there, how many days has she lived thus far? 36,500 days. Think about that. All of those days of her life, God's hand's been upon her. She's had an opportunity to experience God's grace. All the days of your life, you've been given opportunity after opportunity to experience God's grace. How often, though, do we truly, wholeheartedly seek Him? I myself find me seeking Him half-heartedly sometimes. And I'm telling you, that's a key to disaster. Total key to disaster. When you half-heartedly seek God or half-heartedly do His will for your life. He wants us to be devoted. He wants us to be determined to do what brings Him honor and glory, to enthusiastically seek His will and to want to know Him more. It is by grace and God's grace alone in which you and I have this very moment together today. And be honest with yourself. You know that we have taken this gathering for granted. In whatever form that we have participated in since March, we have taken it for granted. I cannot wrap my mind around the fact. Now, I don't know how many people are in our parking lot this morning. I have no way of knowing that until the end of this service. But oh, how many people will stand in line to wait their turn, to go grab their food, to go into Home Depot, to go into Lowe's, to go into whatever establishment they desire. Wait in line in the sun. Matter of fact, if you travel up Langston, you can go by the meat center. And of course, I'm not knocking these businesses. That's not my point here. But I've been up Highway 9 bypass, and I've seen people standing out in the blazing sun waiting for their opportunity to go in and get their meat. It won't grace the presence of God's holy home, this temple. The heart wants what the heart wants. I long for the day when this ban is completely lifted and we can resume the way things used to be, but then I wonder, would we find anybody waiting at the door? Because they long to be here. I'm afraid the answer is no. God gives us His grace every single day, and we fail to realize it. Have you been justified by faith? I hope that you truly know peace, because understand, as we read in verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1, it says that when you are justified, it's because of the faith that you have in Christ Jesus, and when you have been given this justification through your faith, He bestows upon you a peace that cannot be felt by any other thing than knowing Jesus Christ. Have you claimed your portion of God's perfect, God's unrivaled, and God's immeasurable grace? Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house of worship this morning. Lord, I thank you for everyone who was here in the sanctuary and those who are in our parking lot. I pray a special blessing upon them. And God, it's my prayer this morning that we all truly understand and know that a grace that has been afforded to you, to whosoever, only because of your Son's obedience. Through His obedience, we have the opportunity to be obedient, where we receive faith, where we are justified, where we can be made whole. And God, this is just another example, another outpouring of your grace. And so, Father, it's my prayer today that we take this grace that has been given to us and that we enjoy it, we appreciate it. But not only that, we share it. God, as we are pressed on both sides, knocked down, perplexed, beaten, persecuted, Lord, may we understand and know and remind ourselves through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we are a part of the family of God and that there's nothing that can ever separate us from your love. Father, we love you so much, and I thank you for this day. It's in your name I do pray. Amen.